Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome to the next round on the Leave It in the Ring radio network of David Duenas. I'm your co-host, Steve K9 Kim. And joined, as always, up north in the Bay Area, the beautiful city of San Francisco, Golden Gate, Gabe Montoya. Mr. Montoya, good Monday to you.
Good Monday to you, sir. I picked the right weekend to buy a brand new bed. Boy, Maura Han, still waking up from it. How you doing, Steve?
Yeah. We're going to talk about that later. If you want to join in, the number, 347-215-7598. Once again, 347-215-7598. If you want to tweet us a question or a comment, you can do so at SteveUCNLive and at Gabriel_Montoya. Just kind of a programming warning, reminder, et cetera. We are usually 90 minutes, but let's face it, there's not a lot to talk about this particular week or this month in general. February really seems to be a no-fly zone for boxing. So depending on our participation from you guys, we could be truncating the show to 60 minutes or something in between 60 and 90. But let's get started with round number one, news and notes. Gabe, as Doug Fisher has called it, the never-ending story. The saga continues, and now we have hidden video. This is like the Watergate scandal with Deep Throat and tapes and all this other stuff. Reading your Twitter feed yesterday, Gabe, and earlier today, it seems to me like you think that Mayweather, by doing this, is grandstanding. Now, I personally believe that he is trying to make the fight, but I think he's doing a lot of these things that just in case this fight does not take place, that once again we can hashtag blame Bob.
Yeah, and I think, you know, as always, I think it'll be the blame will be shared a bit by everybody. I think by Bob, really the two guys that are in charge of all this, Bob and Mayweather. I think Manny has proven that he'll fight just about anybody you put in front of him, and will ask for anybody. You know, I think Sergio Martinez was a reach. Even Martinez ultimately said, like, the guy is way too small. Mayweather was really the option there. It's going to come down to both of them. And Brent Brookhouse is a guy that doesn't always report on boxing. He generally covers MMA. But a lot of people thought he was going to be Journalist of the Year last year, certainly in his sport. Broke a lot of big stories, including the class action suit against the UFC. He said that he was looking into this story, and that ultimately he had determined it sounded like Bob and it sounded like Floyd were kind of drawing things out, adding stipulations, hemming and hawing, or in Bob's case, maybe antagonizing, all in an effort to look like they're doing this fight, but they're not doing this fight. We knew they were not going to do this fight.
Gabe, I've talked to a few people in the last few days. I'm kind of like at that Doug Fisher threshold where I don't even want to talk about it, but it is part of our jobs, okay? Some people believe that as of right now, things are trending up and it's going towards back to, yes, I think we're going to have a fight. Other people are saying, no, it's not going to happen. And I wrote this last week. We're all Sergeant Schultz. We know nothing. And I've written this for a while, and I've stated it on this program and others. I believe what both sides are doing is like a political smear campaign where they're playing the blame game that when ultimately, if this fails, again, the key word is if, nobody wants to look like the side that blew the fight. For me to tell you that I know anything or that I have an indication that's really educated in terms of my opinion, that would be a flat-out lie. I do a lot of speculating. I'll even do some rumor-mongering, but I'll at least admit when I'm playing the guessing game. I really don't know all that much, but, Gabe, I find it interesting that if you were really negotiating this fight in good faith, and perhaps maybe he still is, it's almost unprecedented that you secretly take the conversation and release it as part of a promotional tour for this new app that you have a financial interest in. I just find that odd because for those who say it's great marketing, if Bob Arum did this or Don King did this or any promoter did this or they did this against Mayweather, I don't think it'd be nearly as well received by certain entities.
I think people would be flipping out. I think, you know, the other side would be like, oh, my God, I got, you know, people, I got flack yesterday for joking about it being a secret taping. And, you know, maybe Manny did, I think somebody did tweet out who had done the taping. It was a female in Floyd's entourage, or maybe it's his new girlfriend. I don't know. But, you know, the whole thing, though, is that you should honor those meetings by not putting out little bits and pieces of them and editing the conversation to suit you. But that's Floyd. I mean, he proved that with All Access when they're smoking, you know, rolling up fake joints and doing, you know, fake sparring sessions to the death. Did anybody ever investigate whether that was any of that was true? So I think, you know, this whole thing, I called it last week. It's Mayweather-Pacquiao porn. It's a played out story until they actually fight. I'm not really that interested in it, and I got to be honest. Like I put this out there this last week, and again got some flack for it. And that if this is the best fight that we can make, and these guys are 36 and 37 years old, one hasn't knocked anybody out in 4 years. The other guy 6 years. You know, and maybe they've had some carefully crafted matches in between. We don't really know what all they have left. If this is the best fight we've got, we're kind of not in trouble, but something's kind of wrong. Why haven't we developed stars to take the next mantle here?
Speaking of which, this is a fight that has been completed by Banner Promotions and Golden Boy Promotions, and all I could say is Dennis Green, they are who we thought they were, slamming my fist on the table, crown them. Ruslan Provodnikov will face Lucas Matisse, and in a bit of gamesmanship, I think perhaps to bury their competitor. HBO has basically matched the right to televise this bout, so they will have a very strong schedule in the first half of 2015. Gabe, can anyone in their right mind, and again, we're dealing with boxing fans who just love the bitch to bitch, like some of them are like Stadler and Waldorf, those two old puppets on the Muppet Show. Can anyone in their right mind rationally say that HBO does not have a very solid slate of fights for the first half of 2015?
Well, not only do they have a great slate, but they have a sense of when to step on an opponent's neck and finish the thing. And I think that fight, I mean, that's a pure fight fans fight, you know, Matisse versus Provodnikov. Where it happens, they will, you know, get it all into that, but that remains to be seen. But HBO, you know, when you got a guy hurt on the ropes, you finish him. You go to the body, you come upstairs, and you make sure he can't breathe and get his air back and get his consciousness back, and then you knock him out. And look where Showtime is at. They could have picked up that fight, and maybe they get a little breathing room for a second. They get out of the round. But now, I mean, what fight are they going to pick up? What do they got going on over there?
Gabe, I'm not going to throw any stones at anybody. I'm not going to chastise anybody. I'm not going to throw any conspiracy theories at anybody about Les Moonves has basically given the edict to Steven Espinoza that, hey, till we get Pacquiao Mayweather done, you are not to give dates to those guys. But here's what we know as a fact. Right now, coming into the second week of February, unless you're a Showtime subscriber that watches stuff like Ray Donovan, which is not currently on, or any other shows, which some of which are very good, they have two show boxes. They have one, I believe, this weekend from Pittsburgh, or the 20th, I believe, and they have one on March 13th starring Antoine Douglas. But in terms of their major shows, which I define as Showtime Championship Boxing, they have nada. They literally do not have a fight from January 17th all the way to the rest of the schedule in the first half. As an HBO subscriber, if you're subscribing solely for the sweet science, is Showbox and that developmental series enough for you to keep that subscription for the time being? Let us know at 347-215-7598. And gave some disturbing news. James Kirkland and Ann Wolf, they are not peaches and herb. They are not reunited. They don't feel so good. It looks like this divorce is final. Counseling did not work.
Yeah, what were they what were they thinking? I think fightsaga.com, Joseph Herron had the exclusive on it, had the jump on everybody, and it turned out that there were this, I'm quoting the story, Las Vegas-based trainer and former prize fighter Gerald Tucker will be Kirkland's chief second. And he'll also be working with strength and conditioning expert Bremon Bebe McClinton and aspiring young fight coach Mick Moronis Jr. while working at two Alamo City-based facilities, All Sports Speed and Conditioning and Team Moronis Boxing Club. I spoke with Ann Wolf today at length about it. You know, we're talking maybe getting her on the radio very shortly. But she, as always through these situations, this is not the first time. I don't think it's going to be, well, it probably is the last time. You know, maybe something happens in camp, but she's used to this, and she's always very classy. She doesn't want to really make any disparaging comments about James. But it just seems like he wants to be in control, wants to, you know, do his own thing. And looking at these guys, maybe, you know, he's getting a big payday. This is just my thinking. He's going on the cheap, and it makes me think of Kelly Pavlik when he scrimped on a cut man and then had to do with, like, you know, paper towels, like Bronny in the corner trying to stop that blood against Sergio Martinez. That's what happens when you go on the cheap. And I think when you – just knowing Ann, and, like, I've talked to her at length about her training camps, I don't think people understand. Like, Henry Ramirez, a trainer of Chris Areola and Josito Lopez, said on Twitter today that, you know, at a certain point, a guy who is who he is, and it's not going to change with him. But he's undefeated with Ann Wolf. He went with Kenny Adams, and I don't think it's anything on Kenny that he lost. But James has a certain way that he needs to be prepared, and things that Ann does to him. I mean, they go full fights, four or five fights within training camp. Like, he builds up his body, breaks it down, does it again over and over again until, and then the last 2 weeks, you know, they're really tapering down and heading into a fight. He's just not prepared. Like, to me, I'm not bothering going to the fight. I'm not going to say it's not going to be exciting, because James is always exciting, but I think his best chance to win is with Ann, and he just gave that up.
Bronny, the quicker picker upper. Those are some great commercials growing up as a kid. But going back on subject, I've always stated that there are certain trainers, no matter what their caliber or track record, belong with certain fighters. And James Kirkland is at his best, his optimum, his apex with the Wolf and Wolf. They just belong together, and obviously it became a love-hate relationship to something that became untenable. And for a lot of fans, this is the proverbial buzzkill, because they believed that for James Kirkland to have a real puncher's chance, not a get-lucky, hit-a-lottery-punch puncher's chance, but a real chance, he needed Miss Wolf in there. And all I can say is you have to live with your decisions. Gabe Terrence Crawford, he was supposed to fight March 21st at the MSG Theater. That has been postponed, quite frankly. They don't have a dance partner that is suitable. Chris Algieri needs to come back and have some gravity in his life, because he needs to come back down to earth. And I'm hearing several different names. It looks like he will fight sometime in mid to late April. It also didn't help that Nicholas Walters had, quote-unquote, the flu. Here's a fight that has been finalized for pay-per-view in Viva Puerto Rico, April 11th. Gabe, I think this is a little gem, and I guess this is the reason why HBO didn't have room for it, because they have a full slate of fights. Orlando Salido, Rocky Martinez. Gabe, that is another fight fans fight.
Oh, it's a great fight. I mean, I think it's, you know, Orlando Salido, he's going to be like 70 and still exciting. He might still be fighting as well. But, you know, against Rocky Martinez, it's, you know, both of them at this point are guys that are hard, that they come forward, they want to fight. Martinez gives a little more movement, but both are vulnerable. And they've lost a little bit, you know, off of whatever speed they've had. So I think that's going to be for like just an all-out action fight.
And Gabe, speaking of April 11th, this fight has been done. Lou DiBella made all the financial arrangements needed to the WBO, Frank Warren and Billy Joe Saunders for the WBO title. It looks like it'll be on the PB series on NBC. Andy Lee will make the first defense of his title against Peter Quillen. And Gabe, I'll be honest, for as much derision as Quillen got from me and many others, I can't lie, I am looking forward to this 160-pound clash.
No, I think it's going to be an exciting fight, you know, and Andy is a guy that's had losses in his career, but he's, you know, he's figured out how to come back. I mean, and he trusts his power. I hope he doesn't wait around for it, because Quillen's a fast guy, athletic fighter. He can fight it from both sides. You know, in terms of, you know, he has a left and a right hand, good jab. It's going to be once again an uphill battle for Andy, but we're going to find out hopefully about the whiskers of Peter Quillen in this fight, which, you know, you and I have heard of, are suspect, and I'm really curious about. This would be a legit puncher, something they've, I think they've really ignored or avoided with Peter Quillen. So we're going to get to see some fireworks here. I am curious, is it going to be for $1.4 million or $1.5 million? Is it going to beat the offer that he left on the table?
Gabe, if he does not get something commensurate with what he turned down, this is egg on his face. It really is that simple. Now, if he gets the same amount, you know what? I guess all bets are off. Gabe, speaking of Billy Joe Saunders, with Jermaine Taylor stripped by the IBF of his title, they have ruled that top-ranked contender Hassan Endam must fight Billy Joe Saunders for that vacant strap. And finally, before we move on to the calls, Gabe, on Friday Night Fight from the Beau Rivage on ESPN2, Sergio Mora ekes by my cousin, my second cousin, A.B. Hahn. Gabe, I'm going to say it. I thought Sergio Mora won the fight. I thought he banked enough rounds, but I thought it was very close. However, the new Latin Snake, that one that showed up on Friday, that looked like the old Latin Snake.
Well, you know, when they dropped the Jermaine Taylor fight, maybe he started to molt, and he didn't quite, you know, finish the job. Because it was, you know, and not to disparage the guy, he's always in shape. I think he comes to fight. Sometimes, you know, he has to get himself into shape, you know, in a hurry. I think that happened to him in the rematch with Vernon Forrest. But generally, he gives a very professional account of himself. I like Sergio Mora. I'm not a big fan of his style. I think it's pretty boring, and it's a lot of kind of it's like a pitcher, you know, that doesn't have a lot of heat on his fastball. He's got to throw a slider. He's got to kind of, you know, get things in there, kind of pick at your heels a little bit until you're weak. But this time around, he faded a little bit, and I agree with you that he won the fight. But, you know, when they announced it was going to be a split decision, and Mora kind of mouthed the words, "Of course," like he was going to get jobbed. It's like, come on, dude, you got knocked down, and a lot of his fighting is, you know, he fights maybe 30 seconds of a round. He's moving around a lot, throws like single shots or one, two shots, and is done. It's not entertaining TV, and I tend to think Twitter's kind of goes overboard, but, you know, we can't all be wrong. I mean, at some point it is entertainment. This wasn't entertaining, and it didn't look like a guy that I was like, wow, if he was fighting for the middleweight title tonight, he sure would have won.
Sergio Mora's left knee was not bandaged up, but there was some adhesive on there that I know athletes use when they feel discomfort in a certain body part. He looked like that car whose wheels were falling off. I really wonder the severity of that left knee ailment moving forward. I'll probably call him and see exactly what happened, but I found Teddy Atlas's commentary to be bizarre. He said there was no punch that landed on A.B. Hahn's knockdown when there was clearly a sweeping right hand. And it was funny, Teddy was setting the stage for another Chernobyl Three Mile Island meltdown that has become so accustomed to Friday night fights. But I think he forgot one thing. In this particular occasion, in this circumstance, Sergio Mora was the house fighter. He's with Lou DiBella, and more importantly, he's with Al Haymon. Gabe, he wasn't losing that fight.
Yeah, I more and more don't understand why Teddy's there. I mean, I understand there's a certain – I love Joe Tessitore's work. I think he's great in his position. But Teddy, it's not pleasant. I mean, if I had Teddy over at my house and he was talking that much, that loud, and that just like hammering the same points over and over again and making as little sense as he does, I'd tell him to pipe down, you know, or leave. And yet he's there on ESPN, and it's just like, dude, it's the worst. It's like a crazy uncle. I always think, like, you know, I know your buddy's in the media. I'm sure he's a nice guy, and he does things with his foundation and everything. It's great. But, like, at some point we've got to move forward. And, you know, the other guys on the broadcast are very entertaining to me. You know, Brian Campbell, you know, did a good job. And like I said, Joe's great. But Teddy just puts me off. I can't think that people will watch – that it will bring more fans into the sport. Like, if they – you know, they're not going to forgive a boring fight like that. They're just going to turn it off.
Gabe, you know for a fact I am friends with Teddy, but some of the things he says, like all of a sudden now he's so concerned for Jermaine Taylor's health while leading into the fight back in October, he was okay with Jermaine Taylor fighting. I find that flip-flop strange. And he actually was caught on the microphone before the decision was read as saying, they're going to screw Mora. Teddy, this is the Al Haymon world we live in. And by the way, here's what's going to be very interesting to see. The rumor is, and I think it's more than a rumor, within the industry, ESPN is going to time buy starting in June. And you know who's buying the time. Al Haymon's made it very clear with anyone that's associated with his events, whether they work for him or not, they have to sign like this pact that, hey, we're going to play ball here. If there's a situation where, let's say, a Haymon fighter that he wants to win specifically gets a gift decision, I hope Teddy Atlas stays true to his own ethics and morals. If you want to call in, 347-215-7598. Gabe, let's get to the calls.
All right. In the 760, you're live on the next round.
Hey, what's up, guys? Julio San Diego. How you doing?
Good, Julio. What can we do for you?
All right, man. We got two questions. One is about the fight we're all done talking about. So, Mayweather doesn't make the fight with Pacquiao. Let's say that happens, right? Which I think most of us are starting to believe. Do you think Showtime really greenlights Amir Khan due to the fact that, one, Mayweather's going to get all the blowback if this fight doesn't happen, two, Amir Khan is not that big of a star over here yet, and three, you got Canelo Kirkland on network TV at the same time? Do you think they would really do that?
You know, Julio, we said this before, though, but Gabe, doesn't he have a contract? Two fights left of this six-fight pact?
Yeah,
that's the reality.
And it's got to happen within a certain window, as I understand the contract. So, I mean, I just don't, you know, I think at this point he's going to sell what he's going to sell. You know, if it's Pacquiao, it's going to get a huge bump. That's why it's taking so long trying to figure out, you know, what's going to be, who's going to get what. And plus, you got two networks to appease because of that contract. In some ways, you know, it makes sense to me that HBO and everybody would kind of wait so they wouldn't have to deal with two networks and they could just deal with one or the highest bidder could get it. That's why, you know, even watching Al's plan unfold, I mean, how long could time buys really last? You know, I think there's some other network that's going to be, like Ellerby said, our own platform. It's going to be a digital platform or its own channel. But you're going to do all these time buys and kind of, you know, saturate the market with your brand and then consolidate. I don't even
one
think
other issue,
the whole
guys,
thing.
I keep hearing that this is the fight that doesn't need a five-month lead-up. I agree. I think you could literally put it an announcement and say, in 3 weeks this fight's happening, and it'll do robust business. Here's the problem. The fighters have to train, though. And I guarantee you that each training camp, no matter what Floyd Mayweather might say or no matter what blustery comments my boy Freddie Roach is going to say, they're each going to want at least 8 weeks. Let's just be realistic about that. So they are now starting to cut the time a little bit thin, in my opinion. Julio, what else is on your mind?
One last question, man. Cotto, if he doesn't fight Floyd Golovkin, he's not going to fight Golovkin in this next fight, and he's not going to fight Canelo, obviously. Do you think they really try to force him and Bradley, or maybe him and some other junior middleweight, or is he actually going to fight at 160, someone legit?
Julio, I keep hearing that Tim Bradley would be the in-house choice. Not only is he promoted by Top Rank, he is also advised by Gabby Penagronico, and I think I'm botching that last name. My apologies. So, you know, you're playing both ends against the middle here. I don't know about you guys. I am a big Desert Storm fan. However, I believe his threshold of effectiveness ends at 147. I mean, how farcical is that? Cotto Bradley for the middleweight title of the world.
Yeah, it's just, you know, that's a very strange fight, but they're kind of tweeners, you know. It's the tweener championship. because I think like they're kind of like a Sean Porter where, you know, you can even though Sean's competed above 147 in the amateurs, I don't think he's really going to be that effective up there. Bradley, the same, you know, same thing. I think, you know, I don't know. It's an interesting fight. It's not, if it doesn't really do a lot for me, Bradley is just so workmanlike. He's not a knockout puncher, and I don't think he's ever going to be. So, you know, for me, his fights always lose, have like 10 or 20% less intrigue than everybody else's.
Julio, right, we got to get running, okay?
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thanks,
if you want to call in, 347-215-7598. We'll get to a few tweets in a few minutes. If you want to jump in, that's Steve UCN Live and at Gabriel underscore Montoya. Gabe, who's next?
In 860, you're live on the next round.
Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing? CT.
CT, what's good?
Hey, what's up, CT?
What's up? I was just hearing you guys saying about Terrence Crawford didn't have an opponent. I'm wondering what happened to Postol? Sorry, I probably pronounced his name wrong. Doesn't he fight at 140? I'm pretty sure they can try to make that happen. I mean, he's coming off a great win off of Iodine. I mean, I haven't seen a fight since.
I read something on Fight News, Gabe, where the WBC clarified its position. Let me try to find it. But I think they basically said within due time, Victor Postol, one way or the other, has to get his title shot by this year.
Yeah, so it's basically, I believe he gets the winner of Garcia versus Peterson, which means he's going to get the vacant belt. Or, you know, a shot at the vacant belt. So if Garcia wins, I think Garcia, you know, is probably going to go to 47. I just don't see why they stay. I mean, they're doing this little kind of interim, you know, 143 fight. But again, I think it's about branding. Both those guys, even though the fight's at 143, are going to walk in with title belts as part of the, you know, the big PBC show and establish themselves as world champion, legitimate multi-belt world champions. And then, you know, once the public knows that, it's not going to matter what belt they're holding once it becomes.
Yeah, and let me
PBC
read
belt.
This. This is from Fight News. I believe this was a press release that was sent to all of us. Quite frankly, I delete most of these. But it says, WBC/WBA super lightweight champion Danny Garcia, who made his last mandatory defense in September 14th, will be allowed to fight IBF champion Lamont Peterson in a non-title bout after negotiating a step-aside agreement with mandatory challenger Victor Postol under the following conditions. The Garcia-Postol step-aside agreement will be modified and updated to include the new date of the fight and the conditions of the mandatory fight between Garcia and Postol. And it also says Lucas Matisse has been named mandatory contender to fight against the then WBC world champion immediately following the Garcia-Postol fight. So I'll say this, the WBC is actually putting in measures to make sure that fights make fights, as Larry Merchant would say. But here's the issue, guys. If Danny Garcia wins, he's not going back down to 140, in my opinion.
No. No, if he wins, it's going to be a good fight. It's going to be an exciting fight. He takes the victory and the momentum and heads off with the image of him being a champion. Then he can head up to 147 and do something up there.
I think he's
Postol will get his shot, but he'll be. It won't be a. What's that? Go ahead. Go ahead.
Oh no, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just saying, Postol is going to get a shot, but it's going to be a vacant belt.
Oh, okay. I see that Garcia's been like purposely stalling and going up to 147. I don't understand why, but. my other
and by the way,
is,
let me just CT one thing here. All of these Heyman guys may not care about these belts because pretty soon there could be the PBC belt. So no matter what the WBC, BA, BF, IBO, WBO mandates, it may not matter.
Wow. my other question was, is there any rumor that could possibly be happening since about Kell Brook and his defense against JoJo Dan? Can he take some step-side money and possibly fight Amir Khan?
Gabe?
I suppose he could. I just don't. I mean, that's just all speculation, you know. You know, I think you know, Marquez says that he would fight Kell Brook. I think everybody's kind of aiming for him, but I just don't see it. I mean, whatever Eddie Hearn wants to have happen with him, that's what's going to happen. I don't think they're looking. You know, a belt is like a business, and when you get it, and you got a guy like Brook who's been built, you're not looking to get in the toughest fights possible. You're looking to get in the most winnable fights possible, and hopefully
and
those
by the
fights
way,
end up being entertaining.
Gabe, as I reiterated yesterday, I don't believe at this stage of his career, and also given his stature, I don't see Marquez traveling. I really don't, not for an actual fight. So I think that
no.
is certainly an issue. CT, we got to get running, okay?
Okay, can I just one more question?
Yes, please,
All right. Any notice about who's going to be the referee in the Matisse and Prodnikov fight? I was hoping it was like Smoger or someone.
You know, I think what they have to do is first settle on a venue, and then based on that jurisdiction, I think we will start to get our pool of judges. But I'll certainly keep up that situation. As far as I'm concerned, I just want a guy that's going to just stay the hell out of the way. Because quite frankly, that's I think that's all we need.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, CT. This number to call in, 347-215-7598. Gabe, who's next?
Yeah, that fight, I don't think there's going to be a lot of clinches in it, unless somebody gets seriously hurt, but neither of those guys really wrap up. In the 619, you're live on the next round.
Hey, what's up? This is Juan from San Diego. How you doing, Steve? How you doing, Gabe?
Juan, good Monday
What's up,
to
man?
You.
How you doing?
Very good, very good. Very excited about the Ruslan-Lucas fight. Is it confirmed already?
It is basically confirmed. HBO has won the right to televise the bout. Now we got to see exactly where this fight ends up. I believe StubHub Center is the optimal location. But, guys, I'm hearing there's some shenanigans with other entities trying to basically block that. And you could just
yeah,
take it from
that.
There.
I heard that, but I hope it doesn't because I already have my money set for that fight if it's in the StubHub Center. I'm going to be lining up for that one. Pretty excited about that fight and the Andy Lee, Peter Quinn. And I'll tell you, I think Ruslan and Andy will shock the world. I think they're going to win. So the other question I have, you were mentioning Cotto versus Bradley for the middleweight championship of the world. What do you think about that? If they do fight, who would win that fight? I think Bradley is a better fighter overall in my book. I think he's a more complete fighter than Cotto.
Hmm.
What do you think?
That's a tough
Gabe?
Fight, you know. I mean, I think Bradley's got some nice wheels on him. He can bounce in and out if he doesn't break his ankles. And, you know, Cotto, it's hard to tell because, you know, Top Rank are such good matchmakers that I don't know exactly what the hell Cotto I'm seeing. Sergio Martinez didn't even have a round in it. And I don't think a lot of that had to do with Cotto. So it's
yeah.
hard to say, you know, whereas I think Bradley's got a lot left. I agree with you. He's kind of a Swiss Army knife. The only thing he doesn't have is a lot of power. I think that goes to Cotto in this. I don't know. Cotto has an ability to fight out of either stance. I think there's a lot of factors there. I think it's an intriguing matchup. It is kind of weird that it's going to be for a catchweight, but, I mean, it's not like they invented it. You know, they just – it is what it is.
Didn't Tim fight in the amateurs as a 154-pounder? I heard about that.
Yeah,
that
you know, he may have.
He
Gabe and Juan, maybe he did. But it's clear he needs to be between 40 and 47 because as good as he's been and for as accomplished as he is, he could not break a smoke ring even at 140 by professional punching standards. I just don't see him being able to dent Cotto above 152, 53, 54, 55. Listen, I'm a big advocate of Bradley. Even when everyone was calling him the most boring fighter in the world 2 years ago, I still said, wait a minute, as long as you're not matching him with stinky southpaws, he's not. So, I don't know. I just think, to me, Cotto, when it all shakes out, unless he gets Floyd Mayweather and this incredible payday, I think we just might be saying you should have done the easy thing and made the Canelo fight.
Now, one other thing before I hang up. Bradley versus Amir Khan, that's also an interesting fight. I think that would be a nice fight to see also, since Amir Khan is calling basically everyone except the Klitschko's. So what do you think? Do you think that fight can be made?
What do you think, Gabe?
I don't think so. I'm confused by Khan. Isn't he with Al? That's his deal, right?
He's with Al and Golden Boy. So, I mean, I don't know what's going on there. And I think Showtime, they firmly believe that they have one fight left in terms of an obligation from Amir Khan.
Right. So he's just throwing names out. I think the thing that I get out of what he's saying is Al's got a lot of people and they can't get him a date, and Showtime can't give him a date because there's some sort of edict about Al's people. That's just a wild guess, but I get more out of his situation. I don't really care so much about all the names he's throwing out, just the fact that he's throwing out a ton of names and not getting a fight.
And by the way, I'll defend Amir Khan a little bit. He's the one guy I really believe when he calls people out, he wants them. And this is one guy that signing with Al Haymon has not been the Willy Wonka golden ticket, but it goes back to that decision, which I agreed with or disagreed with back then. In my opinion, if he fights Devin Alexander a year earlier from when he actually did, I think he's right in line to get Mayweather instead of Maidana last May. And it just goes to show you again, fighters should fight because fights make fights. Juan, we got to get going, okay?
All right, thanks, guys.
Here's a tweet from Patrick Hubble. Is Nicholas Walters' flu bug Haymon related? If so, are we seeing a hostile takeover against Top Rank? Gabe, just to go to the second part, I think it's a hostile takeover against everybody, regardless, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a complete takeover. You know, you're looking at the dates, ESPN doing the time buys. That's brutal, man. He's going to swoop right in and grab him because it's just about trying to outlast everybody and take over and then, you know, rebrand it all. You know, I'm not sure where it all leads. You know, is it – will it even stand? I mean, again, you know, the UFC is going through a class action suit right now, being accused of, you know, it's an antitrust suit, being accused of being a league, being a monopoly. You notice, like I wrote a piece, I tweeted out this today, but I wrote it over the weekend. They've even dropped their drug testing program. And I've heard from many people in that industry, the reason they did was not because they screwed up Kung Lee so bad, it's because it would make them look more like a league. So I'm wondering, you know, Al is kind of doing the same thing, saying he's got USADA. He's forming a league, and at some point that's going to come home to roost. But for now, it's just kind of – I like what HBO is doing. They're the only ones that seem to be really responding, and that's by putting up a really strong schedule and really reclaiming their brand as an action-packed place to get, you know, good action fights. I think that's really smart. I'm not sure if that's attributed to Peter Nelson or who, but who the personality is really driving things over there. But last year we were throwing dirt on him. This year, you know, they're kicking that dirt and it's landing all over Showtime.
Yeah, and is Nicholas Walters being Haymon-nized, I've certainly heard the theories. It's out there.
Yeah.
They're aware of it, and they don't seem to be all that concerned, the people involved. Remember, they still have a contract, but at the same time, certain people don't seem to care about a contract. Here's one from Chris Sayer. Any word on who might be next for Erivani Lara? And so you think Julian Williams gets a title shot this year? Gabe, I know this, in talking to the Breadman, that part of their plan, which is to fight four times by the end of the year, they would like a major title shot at 154. As for Lara, Gabe, it's interesting. People seem to forget he does hold a certain portion of that WBA 54-pound title. Mayweather is obviously the super champ. And looking at the WBA ratings, number one is vacant, number two is Saul Alvarez. We know that's never going to happen. Even with Al Haymon, where does Erivani Lara go, Gabe?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, the next possible, you look at the WBA rankings, is Joshua Clady. There's a fight, Lara Clady. I don't know. You know, I think as we find out more dates, we start to see how quality those dates are going to be, you know, who's going to be on those cards. So Lara could you know, possibly land there, considering he's got himself a part of a belt. He can walk out there with the whole thing and say he's got it. So that's probably where I would take it, is one of these other networks. But if you're, you know, how do you expect to, say, if you go to ESPN and you're Sandy Lara, to make Al Heyman money on that network? Because, you know, the budget doesn't match. Is that when he does a time buy, is he basically footing everything, including an, you know, an overpaid salary?
Here is a question from Mr. Blue. Hey, guys, what percentage of the purse does Heyman grant himself for his services? It's an interesting question, Gabe, and this is where the Muhammad Ali Act comes into question. I've been told he does take a lower percentage than most managers, but with this new PBC, he's also supplying the money. So he's getting it on both ends as the television entity, the promoter, and also as the quote-unquote advisor to these fights. So when people say, well, Heyman takes care of his guys, I've never argued that. But by its technical term, it is a violation of the Muhammad Ali Act.
I'm just curious why – I'll always be curious why John McCain was there putting his stamp of approval on somebody that – clearly, it looks like he's breaking
he's ignorant.
The Muhammad Ali Act.
Because he's a blowhard politician that didn't know any better. That's why.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it. I mean, and just the track record, just in my time in boxing, watching people kind of come in and then get rebuffed and chased out of the industry, or, you know, litigated out of the industry. Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, they made this Ali Act, and it really had no teeth. It makes a lot of sense. But it's not really written by people that understand this sport. It's like they tried to litigate it, but they didn't. They didn't finish the job, and now he comes back around, and it's what better exclamation point on how little they know about the sport than to endorse the PBC? Makes no sense.
347-215-7598 if you want to call in. We could be 60 minutes. We could be 90. We could be something in between. Basically, guys, it's up to you. Gabe, who's next on the line?
In the 323, you're live on the next round. 323.
What's going on, gentlemen? Giving you a big fight on over here from USC.
Hey, fight on.
What's up, man? Fight on.
What's going on, Science? You're just here. I'm happy, Kim. We got a great recruiting class, so season's going to look up next year. I'm happy about that.
No doubt about it. In 2 years, I think SC will be a perennial top five team, and I think this UCLA-SC rivalry is going to be as good as it's ever been. But, Sanch, you wanted to throw some stones like Cody Kessler at Showtime, judging by your Twitter account here.
Yes, definitely. I work at NBC Universal right now, and they're heavily promoting, like, the posters of PBC on the grounds at Universal, and it's clearly obvious that Showtime has a gag order of anything Al Heyman-esque. You know, they're not putting no fights on, so it's basically going to show that Moonves had told that Cardinal over there, like, look, you either make this fight or you can't cut no checks. So it's really bad for Showtime. I mean, like, what does Showtime have? Nothing. They have nothing lined up. And HBO is doing a hell of a job just with that Ruslan and Matisse fight. That's all I need to see right there. I can't wait for that fight. If it's not at the StubHub, let's have it at the Galen Center. Why not? You know, that was a good venue for the Areola-Severn fight. That was a good time there. So we're not worried about what Showtime is doing. Showtime's not doing nothing relevant, you know. They got the Cardinal in charge over there. He's obviously a brick short of a full building, you know. So what are we going to do? We got PBC, but I was going to ask you guys, what about PBC? There's no box office draw for Al Heyman on these network shows. There's no ticket seller.
Fitch.
There's no guy they're clamoring,
right now,
like public clamoring to see.
That, I don't think that's part of the plan. I think part of this plan is for these shows – since it's not really Al Heyman's money, is to be a loss leader and to basically drown everybody out of the business, to distort the market to such a point that either you become like the promoters that have already gone under his umbrella, or you risk maybe going out of business.
And
yeah,
I think there's nostalgia
factor. I don't see where the revenue is coming from.
Well, I mean, you got to spend money to make money. And so I think, you know, this is all, you know, part of that is just branding in the beginning, you know. But you got Sugar Ray Leonard out there. You have, notice he's invoked the history of the sport, bringing out Duran, Hearns, and Leonard to sell the product and to really legitimize it. You know, Al Michaels coming into the fold, Marv Albert. Those voices, those things, that's very powerful to reconnect these last couple generations that grew up, like uh-huh. Stephen and mine and yours, that grew up when we had free boxing, you know, on TV on free TV. That's very powerful, what they're doing and how they're marketing it. It doesn't really matter. Maybe a star will emerge at some point. They always do. But at this point, uh-huh. he's just got all the fighters. He's got the product, and it feels familiar. And so immediately there's a connectivity with this audience, whether, you know, it's the dad going, oh, dude, you got to watch this. And then, boom, all of a sudden his son is. Or a grandfather that, you know, reconnects his family. That's how all this stuff gets passed on. That's how the three of us like the Trojans as opposed to some other team. You know, that's the name of the game. And that's what Al's doing. It's the UFC
Fetch.
Model. You know?
Fetch, I'm being told they are going all out. And I give them credit here. They are spending a lot of money on production. They are going to try to change the look of boxing, which probably is long overdue. They got a music composer, Hans Zimmer. We'll see. Mm-hmm. I mean, does it become as iconic as the NFL films and their music? We're going to see. But even on the Spike series, if you just go by the Twitter feeds of the guys involved, they're doing like 24/7 type of coverage on these guys. You'll see vignettes, the personal backstories. Mm-hmm. So this will not look like your conventional boxing show in several regards. I'm actually curious to see how does this souped-up production look.
I'm curious. I'm a little bit excited. I would obviously like to see the winner of Broner Herrera face the winner of Ruslan Matisse, but I don't think we're going to get that. So it's just we haven't seen it yet, so we don't know what to expect. I'm hopeful. I'm more skeptical than hopeful, but there's a glimmer of hope also. So that's what I wanted to say about that. But I was going to ask you guys, what about the Nadam and Dam Saunders? The winner of that, is Triple G in line for the IBO? Is he on the contenders list? Or
well,
what do you see happening with that?
That's the IBF. And so once you have a belt, you're kind of insulated from fighting the other champions as a mandatory. So I get the sense that if Saunders wins that fight, that Frank Warren, he's not in any rush to bring him over here to be sacrificed by Triple G.
Yeah.
I think he becomes a moneymaker out there in the UK.
Mm-hmm. Because I could see him fighting the Quillen or the Lee winner before he even goes near Triple G then.
Yeah. So, Fetch, anything else we can do for you?
Yeah, Steve, I want you to give Fresh Off the Boat a little bit more of a try. It's a good show. Mm. I met one of the writers, very good guy, and all my Asian, Chinese friends and Korean friends over here at USC are loving that show. So give
okay,
it a little bit more of
this.
A try.
Okay, it's right now, and I know it's early. We're only two episodes in. It's not the Asian version of the Cosby Show just yet. It's not even as good as the George Lopez Show or the one with Damon Wayans, which I thought was funny. But it is miles better than All-American Girl with Margaret Cho, which was an unmitigated disaster about 20 years ago. So you know what? It's not like Empire, which immediately made it into my rotation because I love Cookie.
Yes.
God bless Taraji Henson, crown her. But mm-hmm. I'll give it a few more shots, Sanch. I promise.
Because we need the ratings, Kim, so we can get more. Then we'll eventually get that Mexican-Korean on network TV, you know, that we need. You're a little different, Kim. You're from Montebello and over
yes,
there.
Yes, so I
you am. Got that, so you got that mixture in there. And it's the Montebello Town Center, not the shops of Montebello. That's how
it's you know what? It's like, to me, the StubHub Center will always be the Home Depot Center. Let's
Home
just
Depot,
call it for what it is. Sanch, we got to get
work,
running,
guys. Gentlemen, good work. Take care.
Absolutely. That is Sanch from the University of Southern California. Gabe, who's next?
In the 530. You're live on the next round.
Good evening, Gabe, Steve, Ringside Robert here.
Oh, don't call it a comeback. You're here again.
What's up,
Robbie, thank you for joining us.
Well, I'm always going to be here, guys. You put on a good show.
Thank you.
Thanks.
First of all, a question, Steve. Is HBO going to have a fight to show before the Golovkin fight on the 21st? What do you know about
no,
that?
No, there was some talk of it. That ship has sailed, and let's just be realistic. We're about, 12, 13 days from that, and nothing has been announced. So that ship is way gone, and I believe it'll be a single fight broadcast, which I've always spoken out against, and so that's unfortunate.
Yeah, no, I love the multiple fights. I subscribe to both HBO and Showtime, and I love what HBO is doing. And I do believe that Moonves has told Espinoza, you're not putting on any fights unless you make the fight. And I think that's the problem that Showtime has. And people need to decide, do you want to support a network who's not giving us anything?
And it's rude on Twitter. Yeah, I don't know. Actually, yeah, everybody can be rude on Twitter, judging by my timeline. Yeah, I don't know. You know, I think I've always said that the power in this sport, or a large part of it, it lies with the consumer. And you guys have to understand your power. And that in the age of the radio, you can strike back and get what you want. But even then, I mean, I think, you know, like I know a guy, John Novoselic, that's friends with Steve and I. He used to write for Doghouse Boxing and sometimes still does. He canceled his Showtime. Because the product is inferior, there's nothing there, got rid of it, you know, and I don't think he's alone. So I think that's the only way things are going to change in a place. It's sort of like when, you know, Cagney and Lacey got kicked off the air when we were kids. People called in and went crazy and supported the show, got it back on the air for a few seasons. You guys have that kind of power. You just don't ever exercise it.
And I honestly believe a guy like Espinoza, he's got to lose his job over not putting a schedule together. How can you keep your position and you're supposed to be in charge of boxing over there and you're not putting anything on? I understand your boss has issued an order to you and you have to carry it out. But in the meantime, you do have to put on fights because there's a certain segment of your population that has subscribed to your network for that purpose. So doesn't he need to suffer some consequences here? And the Matisse fight, it's got to take place at StubHub. That's the best venue I know of for that kind of fight.
Robbie, here's the question that I have, though. Okay, you've been given orders, the marching orders, no Heyman until we get this fight or if we get this fight. Last I checked, Heyman is not the only guy with fighters. There are plenty of other promoters that are offering programming that have not been on Showtime, for at least a year and a half, 2 years. Now, what I found interesting is that when Andre Ward wanted a lot of money for fighting guys like Marco Antonio Parabon, that they went over to Showtime, and this is where I give Steven Espinoza a lot of credit. He said, thanks, but no thanks. So it's very interesting. I mean, we are now into basically what I describe as mid-February, okay? Well, if you don't have a fight scheduled by early February, that means the earliest you're going to schedule it by the standards of this industry is late April to mid-May. So let's say you don't schedule anything to, let's say, February 21st to the February 28th, which is now you're getting into March. That means June. Now you basically have a huge vacuum from January 17th to halfway through 2015 where you don't have a lot on the table.
And meanwhile, HBO is going to continue adding to their schedule, I'm assuming. And by the way, I love that pay-per-view fight. That's another fan-friendly fight. I love that. That's an outstanding fight they have scheduled for April 11th.
And I'm being told by Peter Rivera, the promoter of it, they're going $39.95. A good price.
That's awesome. I've paid a lot more. That's a bargain in my book.
You paid a lot more for a lot less. Let's just put it that way.
Yep, exactly. You know, but I'm a boxing fan, so you know that's just what I do. So anyway, thanks guys. I'll let you go.
All right, thanks a lot. That's Ringside Robbie making his return to the next round on the Leave It in the Ring radio network of David Duenes. That number, if you want to call in, 347-215-7598. Gabe?
In the 805, you're live on the next round.
Hey, guys, this is Nacho. What's going on? I was wondering, for that March 14th card with Pascal and Kovalev, is it true that they've made Derry John versus Hank Lundy?
Nacho, that fight has been discussed. It is being discussed, and I think that they are in line to consummate that fight. It's not finished yet, but I think it will hit the finish line.
Oh, okay. I was because I had seen something that they might have made that fight already, but I guess not. Also, too, you guys were talking about the Terrence Crawford Nicholas Walters card getting canceled.
Yeah.
Is it true Algieri asked for $750,000 to face Crawford?
Let's just put it this way. That number you described, I'm not going to confirm or deny, but you heard correctly. He's asking for a lot. And then he's having problems dividing that money up between his co-promoters. So unless his financial expectations change, I don't believe that he will be in the running to make that fight much longer.
Okay, that's kind of what I was thinking as well. And on the same day Golovkin and Murray fight, the Abraham Smith rematch is happening on that day. Do you guys see Smith possibly winning that fight, or do you think Abraham ends up pulling it out again?
I think that fight ends up a lot like the first one, and I think this goes to what type of mood are the judges in?
Yeah, I would tend to agree. You know, I'm not sure. It's I have to look at it again. You know, and really break it down. But I tend to think it's going to be another tough one. You know, it's like Henry Ramirez says, at some point guys just are who they are.
Okay. And my last thing that I wanted to ask, I know Frankie Gomez is taking Antonio Orozco's place on that HBO Latino card. Have they announced who his opponent is?
No, they have not. And he was actually supposed to be, I think, off television, and Orozco got cut. And unfortunately, what I believe was a pretty good step-up bout against Emmanuel Taylor has gone by the wayside. I'm trying to make some calls now. I've gotten no reply. But as of right now, Frankie Gomez is fighting the notorious TBA, Tom Bob Anderson.
Okay, cool.
All right, Nacho, all right. Thank you for the call.
Thanks.
347-215-7598. Gabe, who's next?
646, you're live on the next round.
Hey, guys, how are you? Hi, this is Domingo. How are you guys?
Good, what's going on?
Up, Domingo?
Good, quick question about Amir Khan. He's calling everybody, but my question is, does he really deserve to call those guys? Because at the end of the day, I think the fans spoke against Mayweather. Mayweather wanted to fight Amir Khan, and the reason why he's trying to fight Pacquiao is because he couldn't make that fight with Amir Khan because nobody would watch it. And I just want to get you guys' thoughts.
Yeah, I don't know what to say. I mean, Amir Khan, I think the great thing about him is that he has an incredible self-belief. Now, some would call it delusion. I really do think that he does want to fight him, and he believes he'd win this fight. And you know, in an age when guys are trying to hide from other guys, I actually admire the fact that this is a guy saying, hey, I want to fight this, this, and this guy. Line them up. Where he loses people, Domingo, is when he says, you know, Cotto should come to the UK. Okay, now I'm off the bandwagon. See, that's where there's too much self-belief and too much of a self-absorption. If you want to call it that. But I feel bad for Amir Khan, given the sense that he's trying to do his best to fight often, but he's not given the opportunity. And with that, he seems to be, for whatever reason, on the outside looking in.
Well, and Domingo, I don't think you're framing the question correctly, because Amir, and he told me this when he was up here, I did video of it and I think wrote about it, that he was told not to take that Alexander fight. And if you look what happened, Alexander is a Heyman guy, right?
Yep.
They shake him off that fight. Who knows if Floyd was really thinking about fighting him or what he was doing. He just kind of shook him out. And he was like one of those tenuous, he was a golden boy fighter that now didn't have a fight with a Heyman fighter. Now, after that, now all of a sudden he's with Al Heyman, kind of pulled into the fold. And in the mix of that was Oscar waking up, getting sober and saying, whoa, somebody's taking over my company from within, and now Richard Schaefer's gone. Like, a lot has changed since then. And I think you have to look at it that Amir Khan, that moment actually, is one of the times where a fighter actually kind of came out and was told, I think you can kind of see the, you know, where the Richard Schaefer, Al Heyman influence was happening behind the scenes in that moment. So I think it's perfectly fair for Khan, who's always been in exciting fights and has been fighting at a high cable level, high level in the sport for a long time, to ask for all those fighters. Is it plausible, or are they actually going to happen? Probably not.
But don't you think that Mayweather, the reason why Mayweather is considering that fight is just because he doesn't have no opponent? We always thought, and you guys, I think, talked about it a few months ago, almost everybody thought that Mayweather was going to pick Amir. And it seems like Mayweather realized he couldn't make that fight because it wouldn't sell. It just, the fact is, everybody that I speak to can't stand Amir Khan. They think he's overrated. He's
all
very
right, but
cheating.
Domingo, if we're to believe these reports that were written ad nauseum back 2-3 years ago as he signed this deal with Showtime, his money's guaranteed. Whether it does one pay-per-view buy or a million, he gets $32.5 million. I mean, if you just believe those reports, so he's insulated from any real loss.
Okay. So last thought. So why is he trying to make that Pacquiao fight? What came out of the blue now? Why now? Not a year ago.
I have no idea. Maybe, you know, I think there is some pressure from Les Moonves. I think the majority of the fights under the Showtime contract have underperformed. And Showtime, maybe they're not in the business of loss leaders. And maybe they just say, hey, Floyd, you got to kick us one here.
Thank you, guys.
I tend to believe that story, that Aram, you know, and Moonves talked. I think there was pressure for, like you said. And I think Bob was like, look, you know, Manny's not getting any younger. He's been knocked out already for the third time. He looked good against the Algieri. It's probably now is as good a time as any. Let's do it. And you know, why it hasn't happened is because it doesn't have to happen for Floyd. He's got two fights, $32 million apiece. He's got to fight him within a certain framework. This fight, the financials, who knows what they could possibly be. And so does that operate outside of that $32 million framework? Is it more? Is it less? You know, those are good questions. But, I honestly, at this point, I couldn't tell you why Floyd makes a decision about who he's going to fight any more than I could tell you why he's wearing that red puppy jacket. You know? I really don't know.
All right, we're turning the corner on the hour. I believe we still have some phone calls, so we're going to continue going here. That this number, 347-215-7598, will have the fight review, some stuff going on in Mexico, and it's the return of Voxfino 2015. Gabe?
773. You've been on the longest. 773? You're live on the next round,
773.
Oh, just listening. And now you're... Oh, just listening. Okay. We'll fly through them then. And the 602. You're live on the next round, 602.
Another knockdown.
Boom, I am just knocking them down. 954, you're live on the next round.
Steve, Gabe, what's up, guys? It's Sean.
Sean,
hey,
what's going on?
Oh, not too much. Just hanging out. How you guys doing?
Doing well.
So I kind of tuned into the show a little bit late today. So were you saying Bradley Cotto is being talked about?
Oh, it's been talked about for a while. I mean, Aram brought it up. Bradley says he wants it. Cotto's probably like boxed himself out by not taking the Canelo fight, and maybe Mayweather Pacquiao actually is consummated. And you know, if they have it on the second weekend of June, I believe, Gabe, where this is the year of the weekend for the Puerto Rican Day Parade, you know, I've always thought the opponents for that particular slot were interchangeable as it relates to Cotto. The Puerto Ricans, it's like the Field of Dreams. Build it, and they will come.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's weird to think what position Cotto really is in at this point. What is available to him. I think that's a great fight. He can't turn down too many more, but, I mean, he is a franchise. He is somebody was saying, you know, he wouldn't face Pacquiao in a rematch because of Freddie Roach, but I think Cotto has really proven himself to be a mercenary and that he'll work with whatever promoter or trainer will get him the best fight in the best situation. I think he's shown that. So, you know, I think, you know, Pacquiao might be an option for him. Bradley might be an option for him. He's the middleweight champion, and he does very well at the Garden. Those are two things. One might be more important than the other.
Just remember this, though, guys. The WBC has made it very clear. Cotto gets one defense, and after that, a guy by the name of Gennady Golovkin becomes his mandatory. So either he's going to face up against the good boy, or he's going to drop the title.
He's going to drop the title.
I don't disagree.
Definitely going to drop the title. Also, guys, so I've kind of been out of the loop lately. Is Garcia Peterson at 143, or am I like hallucinating a bad dream?
Yes, it is 143.
Is there any reason?
I think they wanted to create an advantage. Here's my thought. I think they're trying to create an advantage for a guy in Danny Garcia that can't make 140 anymore. And I believe the long range plan is that Heyman wants to cultivate Garcia, believing he has a higher ceiling as a star, being undefeated, while Peterson's already been nicked a few times.
Okay. I don't know. I'm excited for the fight, just like everybody else. Truthfully, I don't think 3 pounds is going to make or break the fight, but it's just kind of sad to see like the politics play such a role here.
It might actually make for a better fight.
Go ahead, Gabe.
I'm sorry. I think it might actually make for a better fight. I think both guys are having a little trouble. But go ahead.
Gabe, if I'm the sanctioning bodies and I know what Heyman might be doing, I start stripping these guys if they don't start defending the title.
No question.
Everyone in boxing better start looking out for their own self-survival.
Absolutely. It's funny, we were joking the other day, but, it would be interesting to see an organization like the Boxing Promoters Association of America, which, announced itself and then did absolutely nothing. I mean, they haven't even really updated their website. But it would be interesting to see those guys kind of get together, or even to take the list of people that, the charter members, and see which ones are working for Al and which ones are out there trying to help the sport. Maybe they're all trying to help the sport. I don't know. But I'm going to take a look at that list. I'm going to have to come out of retirement for that one.
Gabe, they're actually trying to help themselves and survive. Let's be honest about it. Sean, anything else we could do for you?
No, that's it. Thanks for taking my call. Appreciate it.
All right, Sean. Thank you very much. Let's hit the fight review real fast. Gabe, I don't know if you saw this. It was on Fox Deportes. Victor Chinian has nothing left, but he's still able to beat this guy named Juan Jimenez. But I have to tell you, this refereeing was bizarre in this fight. This was a case where this was home cooking, where the referee would, call knockdown slips that were obvious knockdowns. I think he did one on each side. And the last knockout, he literally gave this guy a 20-second timeout, never gave a count, and kept asking him, basically, I think, can you fight? And then he just waved it off. This is the stuff that I think needs to be regulated. I mean, Victor Chinian literally won a fight 2-on-1. And the unfortunate thing is, Gabe, he really shouldn't be fighting regardless.
Yeah, I haven't seen the fight, full disclosure, but I was given an email today, I'm actually writing it up, that from Greg Serb, and he's the executive director out in Pennsylvania, and he sent me something that was basically a long email. I think he sent it to a group of people, but it's his watch list of fighters.
Yeah,
people
I got
that
it.
Are just did you get that? And I thought that was really something else to just look at it and to see, such a proactive executive director. I was hoping that Greg was going to go for the Las Vegas job, but he didn't, or the Nevada job, which is basically the Las Vegas job. But, Martez Logan is on there, Sam Hill, guys that, they've lost a bunch in a row. It's a really helpful piece of information. But I think as we're moving along and towards these brutal fights with Matisse and Provodnikov, it is important to look out for all those other guys, the guys that are being fed on and the guys that are just staying around too long. Or, this weekend, the dude that got blown out in, two rounds or just really fast on ESPN. I'm not sure if it was more than two rounds. But he didn't even look like he really knew how to fight. The guy that got knocked out of the ring.
Literally knocked out of the ring, by the way.
Yeah. Yeah, and he looked, like he didn't even know how to get back in the ring, and the ref's instructions weren't very clear. It was kind of confusing. Like, I was confused. Can't imagine how confused he was, and he gets stopped along the ropes and still looked confused. That kind of stuff is what it lowers the sport, and it just ranges the danger for the athletes, man. I mean, this is a really dangerous sport. It needs the highest standards, and it just Yeah, I want to see the Victor Chinian fight because it's Vic, but I'm kind of afraid to.
Boxino 2015 in the junior middleweight class kicks off on Friday night. Fights got names like Cleos Pendarvis, Brandon Adams, and Vito Gasparian. Gabe, last year, and I'm not always high on tournaments because I think that the reality is oftentimes not as good as what we think is the fantasy, that the best going to fight the best, everyone's going to weed each other out. Problem is, you got a mishmash of styles that don't always come to a confluence of events that is necessarily in favor of the fans. But I thought last year Boxino was a very, very big hit for ESPN too.
No, it was exciting, and it's in the junior middleweight division this year, and it's going to be exciting group of fighters and styles, and that I just like those classes from like 47 to 60 is my wheelhouse, and I think this is going to be fun. This is what the sport should be. We see that development, but it's they're quality fights, and I think that's what we're going to get here. It's a fun series.
And finally, we lost a member of the boxing fraternity and a true boxing guy. I just found out over the weekend, like everyone else on the internet, and I had seen him not too long ago, Joe Dwyer, the former police officer who helped bring some credibility back to the IBF, was working for the WBC and NABF. His health had been failing, and he passed away over the weekend. I can tell you this from my interactions, and I knew him pretty well. This was an honest guy. This is a guy who loved boxing. I think he was above reproach, and I think the game needs more people like him, and he was just a nice gentleman, a good man. And all I can really say, Gabe, is rest in peace to Joe Dwyer.
Yeah, that's it. The passing of the guard and just the passing of I wonder about the honor of the sport. I was talking to somebody else in boxing today, and we talked about that, that there isn't a sense of honor in this next generation, that people just screw each other over and it's kind of cold business, as opposed to trying to, do better in a deal, which has some honor. Certainly he represented what was good about the sport. He'll be missed.
Mm-hmm. Okay, before we wrap it up here, do we have any more calls?
Yeah, I do. 787, you're live on the next round.
Hi, guys. Do you hear me?
Oh,
Javier.
We hear
yes,
you
I
loud
do.
And clear, Javier.
Guys, regarding Amir Khan, if he was willing to go to New York, doesn't that fight do better on pay-per-view that a Bradley fight?
Does it? I'm not so sure. I mean, I still think Bradley resonates more with the American public than Amir Khan. I mean, what do you think, Gabe?
There's a tremendous Muslim community in on the East Coast, and I wonder if they're fight fans, if they would come. That could be interesting. Puerto Ricans versus, I don't know. He's Pakistani. I don't want to say that all Muslims, are all, going to join together. But I tend to think that he would do good in New York. But I could be wrong.
Because obviously, I think the fight that does not pay-per-view is Kota Golovkin, but that's not happening in June. But I believe that if he fights Cans, I believe that fight, in my opinion, does a little better than Bradley. And my opinion is this: even though it wasn't his fault, I believe Bradley never recuperated from the public never recuperated Bradley's faith after the first Pacquiao fight. Even though he's not a judge, but I believe that after that fight and some of the things he said, like people could Bradley kind of took people off the way Ward did, and I believe that will be a tough thing to sell on pay-per-view. That's my opinion. And the other thing I want to ask, with Gary Shaw now getting his fighters back, does he become one of the promoters doing only Heyman fights?
Who's this?
Does Gary Shaw?
My indication is that Gary's going to kind of be his own business. He had a falling out with Al Heyman several years ago. Now, is it out of the realm of possibility that he says, okay, I need to get back under this umbrella? Sure, but as of right now, it seems to me he's operating on the HBO side of the fence. But again, this situation could be fluid.
Okay. Okay, thank you, guys.
Javier, thank you for the call. Gabe, anyone else?
Yes, and the we've got a few people that have been online for a while here. 219, you're live on the next round. 219.
Got a late knockdown there.
Exactly. Just waiting all that time just to get knocked down. 716, you're live on the next round.
Just listening.
Oh, well, I hope you're enjoying the show.
All right.
Gabe, let's keep moving on here before we wrap it up.
Okay. I think I have two more. 707, you're live on the next round. 707.
Hey, what's up? It's Carl.
Carl, what's going on?
What's up, man?
Oh, man, not a whole lot, man. I was just listening. You know what I mean? But I might as well comment. Hey, that card with Terrence Crawford, you said it got canceled?
Yeah, they're moving that back. The bottom line is they couldn't find an opponent. March 21st was creeping up. And then also it didn't help that Nicholas Walters got the flu. So I think that'll be the next Terrence Crawford fight will be sometime, I believe, in mid to late April.
Do you think that those guys over there thought that, you know, we, based on PBC, you know, they really have to come correct and not really fuck around with these TBAs and stuff like that? Do you think they're feeling that pressure from PBC?
Gabe, I think if the rest of the industry doesn't believe that they have to raise their standards and be on their best behavior, Gabe, they deserve to get run out of the business.
Good question. That's the one thing, you know, that I really like about what Heyman's doing. And it is, there's actually a few things. I mean, it's organized. It's like you said, well marketed. I like the look and the feel of it all. People are going to be excited about this. It's bringing a certain class. I think it's going to be pretty cool. But the thing I don't like about it is select media is allowed. But they basically created a league, and now it's become elite. And certain guys can get in and certain guys can't. I don't think that's good for the fans. Right. I don't think ultimately it's good for the fighters when all the decisions are made under one roof and it's behind closed doors. I think that's terrible. So, you know, if this is the beginning of something like that, like a league, then I think the precedents have to be set where people like Steve should be allowed in there and Doug. And, he can still do his job, but this is America. That's completely against what we do here. So,
man, you guys don't like Mayweather, man. That's why there's a bias.
Oh, I think it goes beyond that, but I think there's an implicit message that, hey, guys, if we're giving you ringside access or press row access, you're going to play ball. Personally, I don't want to play that game. I've been to a lot of fights or other fights to go to. I'll be fair regardless, but I will not go out there and basically barter my ability to tell the truth. That it's just not worth it. Carl, we got to get running, okay?
Yeah, for sure, man. Talk to you soon.
All right, man. Peace. One last call, the 347. You're live on the next round.
What's up, guys? This is Mike from Queens.
Mike, what's going on?
Good.
What's up, man?
What's up, guys? I was just wondering... Man, I forgot my question. Fuck. Any Mikey Garcia?
I have a question.
Any Mikey Garcia?
All right, one at a time. Mike from Queens, get your question off. This is killing us here.
Yeah, any Mikey Garcia updates? Because it seems like a call in every week with the same question, but it's still...
He's still in Bolivia, and the issue that he's facing now... What I've been told is that whatever money he was making before, he's getting a haircut now. They're not going to – the network will not greet him back with open arms and reward him for sitting out. And for the Burgos fight, he was right around $750. And if he would have faced Gamboa, he would have gotten over $1 million. He won't be getting that when he comes back. So I don't know what's going on there. I'm not saying the damage he did is irreparable because he's only 26, 27. But the issue has always been with Mikey. He does not have a true passion for the game. He does it because he's good at it and he gets paid well. But I think HBO is taking that hard line stance with certain people. You didn't want to do your job. You didn't want to help us out. We're not going to reward you.
Okay, that's, yeah, it's just fighters just shooting themselves in the foot. And,
right, I mean, Mike, if you didn't go to your job for 3 months, right, and you refused to work, when you came back, would you expect a promotion?
If, of course not, but that, you know, that's boxing logic nowadays, you know what I mean?
Right. Mike, anything else?
No, that's about it, guys. I'll let you guys
know. All right, Mike, thank you for listening and calling in. We'd like to thank everyone that made this show possible. Dave, we actually got 80 minutes out of it. We really made chicken salad out of chicken feathers.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. There's a little bit of, you know, show helper, but we got to this point. So I think that's respectable. Probably 20 more minutes than we thought we could do.
Yeah. All right, so that's it for this week's edition of The Next Round on the Leave It in the Ring Radio Network. On behalf of Gabriel Montoya and David Duenas, this is Steve Kim saying till the next round, goodbye, everybody.